Sometimes we forget that the Blessed Mother didn't know everything, and she had to ponder God's will in her life. We'll talk about that on the program, as well as look at the daily Mass readings. Stay right where you are. We're going to begin right now. Hey there, how are you tonight? Welcome to the program. This is your old buddy Gary Zimak sitting here in at my desk getting ready to begin the show, sipping on a cup of the beverage du jour, which today happens to be Jingle Bell Java. And by the way, if you haven't tried any of this, you need to get some today. If you are a flavored coffee fan as I am, you have to try some Jingle Bell Java. It's really good stuff, available from Mystic Monk Coffee. But on today's program, we're going to talk about the Blessed Mother and the fact that she often didn't know everything. You know, so many times we make the mistake of thinking that Mary had all the answers. Well, she didn't. And much like us, you know, this can be very frustrating, but much like us, Mary had to meditate and ponder and spend time with the Lord in prayer, trying to figure out what he wanted her to do in her life. Well, and we'll try to highlight some of this in the program. We'll do that later on in the show. Before that, we will look at the Mass readings for Thursday, November the 12th, which is the memorial of St. Josaphat, bishop and martyr. The readings, let's see, once again, we're going to read a rather lengthy first reading from the Book of Wisdom and the Gospel. Boy, the Gospel's interesting today. I can't wait to talk about that. The Psalm. Good stuff for the readings today, and I hope you'll be able to stick around for the entire 30-minute program. Quick reminder that on November the 30th, we'll begin our Advent retreat. I've got some good things in store for you, and I've been talking about it on the past few shows. In case you missed it, we'll do the daily Mass readings, because the daily Mass readings for Advent are tremendous. They're a great way of helping us to get ready to welcome the Lord into our lives. And in addition, I have some other meditations from a book that I've used in the past. It was a book written in the mid-60s, but it's really good, and it really is some practical advice for getting ready to welcome the Lord. And, you know, that is a big problem. That's a big problem for many people. We spend so much time getting prepared for Christmas that we don't use the Advent season to prepare to welcome the Lord, to prepare to grow closer to Him, to prepare to be able to encounter Him more deeply. That's what Advent really should be about, and that's what we want to focus on. That's what we're going to do in the retreat. In addition, we will pray the St. Andrew Novena. Now, I've got to get you some more information on that. This is a powerful prayer. It's a powerful devotion. It begins on November the 30th, and it's prayed every day throughout the Advent season, right up until Christmas time. We'll do that on the program as well. And I do want to get you some background information on that, because it is a very amazing and powerful devotion. And as someone who has prayed this for several years now, I've seen miraculous things happen in my life because of the St. Andrew's Novena. So I strongly recommend it. The reason it's called the St. Andrew's Novena is because it begins on St. Andrew's feast day, which is November the 30th. That's why it's named. The tradition is, to be honest with you, I don't know the tradition. I don't know if anybody knows where this novena really started, but it is it's a favorite of many of the people that I've run across. It's a nice novena. So we're going to pray that on the air together. I will give you more information as we get close. We're only a couple weeks away, believe it or not, from the Advent season. So it's time to get ready. It's time to start thinking about what we can do to prepare to welcome the Lord. We want this Advent to be different. Even if all of your Advents have been good, if last Advent you did this and you did a good job preparing to welcome the Lord more deeply into your life, you want to do it even better this year. And each year, we want to grow closer to Him. That's really the point of using the Advent season to the best of our ability, because we want to continue to grow closer to the Lord. We don't want to get to a point in our spiritual life when we say, well, that's it. I've grown as close to the Lord as possible. I don't need to do any more. No, we want to take it beyond that. Each year, each day, really, for the rest of our lives, we want to spend trying to know, love, and serve the Lord to a better degree each day. So we increasingly get closer to Him as the days pass. So that's what's coming up If you have any questions about any of the things we're going to be discussing on the show, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you'd like me to come out to your parish to speak, you can do that also by emailing me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Or if you want to find out more information about the talks that I could give or any of the books that I've written, please visit followingthetruth.com, and you can get all that information right there. And also, if you want to get yourself some Mystic Monk coffee, it would make great Christmas presents, you can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com as well. I need to take another sip of my delicious coffee. Boy, that is good stuff. I really enjoy the Mystic Monk coffee. And what's really nice is the monks who brew this coffee, they love Our Lady. They are good, loyal servants of the church. I mean, this is a good cause if you're supporting Mystic Monk Coffee. And when you buy it through my website, I end up getting a little bit of a profit too, and that helps me keep this program operational. So it helps out a lot of people, and it helps out you too, because it's really good stuff. Let's pray, and then we can get right into the Mass readings for today. And before we pray, here's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember that the Lord is hearing all of your words. The Lord is listening. The Lord is ready to give us many blessings. We can't forget this. We can't lose sight of this fact. We don't want to just go through these prayers and give the Lord lip service. We want to really mean the words. So I'll be leading, but I want you to lift up your hearts. I want you to remember that He is listening, and I want you to remember your own personal needs. Give them to the Lord when we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us another day. Thank you for the many blessings you have given to us in our lives. We thank you especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask that you help us to grow closer to Him and to follow His will, whatever it may involve. We ask you, Father, to bless us, our family members, those around us, our co-workers, fellow students, everyone that we encounter each day. We ask for your blessings upon them. We also ask you, Father, to help those who are sick and those who are lonely. Please help those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be dealing with addiction, those who may be struggling financially, those who may be dealing with any kind of religious persecution or extreme weather condition. Father, I give this show to you. I ask you to speak through me on the program today. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. In addition, Father, we present all of our own personal needs, those things that might distract us, those things that concern us, that sometimes keep our mind off of you. We present them to you, and we ask for your help with them. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her prayers as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Josephat, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Remember that whenever we pray, the Lord does answer our prayers. He sometimes doesn't answer as fast as we'd like. He also sometimes doesn't answer in the way we would like. But what we need to remember is that He answers in the best way possible. Prayer is very effective. Prayer can do great things. But above all, you know, here's the thing we need to remember about prayer. Prayer is a conversation. It's a conversation between us and the Lord. It's lifting our minds and our hearts to our Lord. It's not always just asking for things. I think sometimes we get into that bad habit of just asking for things. Our prayer life should be well-rounded. our prayer should consist of a little bit of adoration. Lord, we adore you. We praise you. It should consist of some thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings in our lives. Thank you for the gift of another day. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my possessions. Thank you for my faith. It should also consist of some contrition. I'm sorry, Lord, for committing the sins that I committed. And it also should consist of prayers of petition. Lord, please grant me the spiritual and the material things that I need. Sometimes we get our needs and our wants confused, but it's okay if in good conscience we're asking for things. If the Lord doesn't think something is good for us, he's not going to give it to us. And that's a good thing. So you don't have to necessarily worry. You shouldn't ask for things that might be frivolous, things that are that you know for a fact wouldn't help you to grow closer to the Lord. I mean, you shouldn't ask for those things, but even if you mess up and in good conscience you ask for something that might not be good for you, take comfort in the fact that the Lord won't give you something that will hurt you. But at any rate, I'm glad I can pray with you. I'm glad that we can hang out together for 30 minutes each night on Blog Talk Radio. This program airs every evening, Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, and it's a great pleasure to be able to share this time with you. My goal is to be here for as long as I can. I intend to keep doing the show, God willing, and I thank you for your support, both your financial support and your prayer support, because otherwise I couldn't be able to continue to do what I do on a full-time basis. I'm very thrilled to be able to do this, and it's a great honor, and I thank you for listening to the show. Let's get right into the daily Mass readings now. The daily Mass readings, the first reading, once again, is from the Book of Wisdom, Wisdom chapter 7, verses 22, all the way through Wisdom chapter 8, verse 1. This is a bit of a long reading today. In wisdom is a spirit, intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, agile, clear, unstained, certain, not baneful, loving the good, keen, unhampered, beneficent, kindly, firm, secure, tranquil, all-powerful, all-seeing, and pervading all spirits, though they be intelligent, pure, and very subtle. For wisdom is mobile beyond all motion, and she penetrates and pervades all things by reason of her purity. For she is an aura of the might of God and a pure effusion of the glory of the Almighty. Therefore, naught that is sullied enters into her, for she is the refulgence of eternal light, the spotless mirror of the power of God, the image of his goodness. And she who is one can do all things, and renews everything while herself perduring. And passing into holy souls from age to age, she produces friends of God and prophets. For there is naught God loves, be it not one who dwells with wisdom. For she is fairer than the sun and surpasses every constellation of the stars. Compared to light, she takes precedence, for that indeed night supplants, but wickedness prevails not over wisdom. Indeed, she reaches from end to end mightily and governs all things well. What we need to remember is that this gift of wisdom, and wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, wisdom is the highest, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom's an important gift for us to possess. Wisdom helps us to see things through God's eyes. Wisdom can help us to know what to do in any given situation, to know what to do from a moral point of view, which is the most important reason to make a decision. We want to do in life what God wants us to do. Sometimes that becomes a little challenging, and we're not really sure what is the right thing to do. That's where wisdom can be very helpful. Wisdom can also help us to be able to see God's hand at work, even in the most difficult situations. When we talk about the Blessed Mother later in today's program, we're going to look at the fact that sometimes Mary was confused. It's perfectly understandable that we will be confused from time to time. That's why wisdom can be very beneficial for us. Wisdom can help us to be able to make the right decision, because sometimes it's not that easy. life can be tricky. There can be situations that are not black and white. And that's where we can have some difficulty discerning what God wants us to do. So wisdom's a very good gift. And all of the readings recently, the first readings have been about, they've been from the Book of Wisdom. And they've been highlighting the importance of wisdom. And we should pray for an increase in the gift of wisdom. Psalm 119 is a responsorial psalm. Your word is forever, O Lord. Your word, O Lord, endures forever. It is firm as the heavens. Through all generations your truth endures. You have established the earth, and it stands firm. According to your ordinances, they still stand firm. All things serve you. The revelation of your words sheds light, giving understanding to the simple. Let your countenance shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Let my soul live to praise you, and may your ordinances help me. One of the beautiful things about Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and it's about God's law. And we've talked about this on the program before. In today's day and age, the idea of law is not highly received. We don't like to be told what to do. The idea of obeying the law, even of God, is something that is a little, it's not the most palatable thing to many people. They don't like the idea of being restricted by the law. But really, the beautiful thing about this psalm is it highlights a great love for God's law. And for those of us who are trying to do God's will, we should want to do what he wants us to do. And the way we're going to find that out is through his guidance. So instead of disliking the law, what we should do is love the law, because that's how we find out what God wants us to do. So the law can be a very, very beneficial thing, and it's a great blessing that God is helping us to know what we should be doing in order to get to heaven and in order to stay close to him and do his will. So the law is a really good thing. The gospel is Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 25. Let's take a look at that now. Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said in reply, The coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed, and no one will announce, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is among you. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, look, there he is, or look, here he is. Do not go off, do not run in pursuit, for just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation. You know, there are some difficult messages relayed by Jesus in the Gospels, and we see here that he's constantly being misunderstood. The Pharisees had their own idea of how things should work. The Pharisees were very much people who, now this is interesting, I just talked about how great the law of the Lord is. The Pharisees loved God's law, but they also added many things to God's law. And they were at the point where, instead of obeying God's law because they loved him, they obeyed what their version of God's law was because they were self-righteous. They felt that they were entitled. They were known as religious separatists. They didn't want the Gentiles or people who didn't believe in the strict observance of the law as they did to be receiving God's favors. They thought that they deserved it because of what they did. We've got to be really careful that we don't fall into that trap, so that we become self-righteous. Because I go to Mass each week, then I'm entitled to go to heaven. No, you're entitled. You're not entitled to anything. You are given the gift of being able to live in heaven because God is infinitely generous with you. There's nothing you can do that can that can entitle you to be able to live in heaven. Once we start having that idea that, well, this is owed to me, then we become like the Pharisees, which is not a good idea. They were asking Jesus when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus said, hey, it's already among you. It's here. They refused to acknowledge Jesus because they had their own idea of how the kingdom would come about. And then Jesus turned to his disciples, and he let them, he kind of straightened them out a little bit as well. He said, do not go off, do not run in pursuit, for his lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other. So will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation, which we all know happened to Jesus. But the disciples, they had a hard time with this. They didn't fully understand. We can go throughout the Gospels and we will see that there were so many aspects of Jesus and his teachings that they just didn't understand. But that's where you and I have this benefit of looking back on his teaching with 2,000 years of hindsight. When these guys were going through it, it was all new to them. And this is all brand new teaching, and it was confusing to them. But you and I have this ability. And we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, too, that his apostles, his disciples, at this point in time, they did not have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You and I have these gifts. We have the gifts, including the gift of wisdom, which helps us to be able to understand things that we would not ordinarily be able to understand. This isn't happening by ourselves. This is happening by a gift, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we need to remember that rather than wait until we get to heaven to enjoy the kingdom of God, it really is here. Now, it's not as perfect as it will be once we get to heaven, but the kingdom of God is here right now. And you and I have the responsibility, by virtue of being Christians, of spreading that kingdom of God, of sharing the good news with those around us. And that's what we're all called to do. All right, let's take a look now at the Blessed Mother, as we do on Thursday. I call this feature Mother's Day. And let me look at my calendar, see where we stand, to see exactly how many more weeks we have of our regular format. We have next week, and we have the following week. So we have basically two more weeks, 2.5 weeks really, 2 weeks and 1 day, how's that, of the regular theme, the regular daily themes for this program. And then we're going to shift into the Advent retreat. So from November 30th right through the end of December, we'll go a few days past Advent probably, because we'll still be in the octave of Christmas. We're not going to just stop the Christmas season on November or December the 25th, because it does continue for several days after that. We want to make sure that we focus on what is happening during the Christmas season, which happens after Advent. So we'll have special programming for several more weeks. And then once 2016 rolls around, we'll be able to launch back into some of our ordinary themes. So I just wanted to give you an idea of what's coming up in the near future for the program. But we will be doing this Advent retreat. It's a really important way of getting ready to welcome the Lord. It's an important way to get ready to welcome the Lord more deeply into our lives. Does that sound good? All right. So that's what's coming up. Let's take a look at the Blessed Mother. I talked about the idea of her not knowing everything. What I really want to highlight is Mary's willingness to meditate, to spend time trying to figure out what the Lord was trying to do in her life. If we look at the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, at the birth of the Lord, Luke 2, beginning in verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. So these are the shepherds being alerted that the Savior has been born. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary was pondering the message of the shepherds. She was, and I believe this happens three times, at least, in the Gospels. We see the idea that Mary was pondering or trying to figure out what the message of the Lord was by looking at the circumstances in her life. You and I, too, we have things that happen in our life. This is one of the ways that God's will plays out in our lives. It's by the ordinary circumstances, the happenings of each day. Now, we can either ignore these events, whatever they may be, pleasant, unpleasant. We can ignore them, or we could say to the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me by these things that are happening? And the other time when this is very obvious is if we look at the finding in the temple. When Mary and Joseph were seeking Jesus, they had been to Jerusalem and they had already gone home. They left for home and Jesus was not with them. They discovered that Jesus was not with them and they doubled back. They headed back to Jerusalem, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, this is in Luke chapter 2, where currently we're in verse 48. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, and this is when Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple after losing him. She said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." So here's an example of Mary not knowing why this happened. She didn't understand why Jesus did this. And this shows us, and this should make us feel good, that Mary didn't have all the answers. And, you know, sometimes we think this is just us, and we start to feel bad about it. We start to question, is something wrong with my faith because I don't understand everything? Well, here's an example of Mary not being able to figure out what God was doing in her life. And she asked this question to Jesus. And he answered her. He said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. Now here it is very plainly an indication that Mary didn't figure out, or Mary was unable to determine why Jesus said what he said. They didn't understand. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Now listen to this. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. So keeping these things in her heart is another indication that Mary was trying to determine what God wanted her to do. She was looking at the circumstances in her life, trying to understand the message that God had for her. Now, the other time, I'll just backtrack a little bit because I told you there were three times that came to mind where Mary is trying to figure out God's working in her life. In other words, what he is, what he wants her to do. This is Luke chapter 1, the Annunciation. We talked about this a few weeks ago. She was greatly troubled at the saying of the angel and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. When we look at these somewhat subtle statements in sacred scripture about the Blessed Mother, about the way she processed what was going on around her, it tells us that Mary spent some time pondering God's working in her life. And I would recommend that we all do the same thing. There are circumstances that happen to us each day. Do we spend the time asking the Lord to reveal to us, and the gift of wisdom can be very helpful, to reveal to us his plan? Why is he doing what he's doing? What is he trying to teach us? He doesn't always reveal everything to us, but sometimes he'll give you a clue as to what he's trying to teach you. Lord, why are you making me go through this? And sometimes you'll get an idea of what he's trying to teach you. And then it'll help you, because you'll be able to understand what he's trying to get you to learn. All right, I am out of time. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow. I hope you can join me. We're going to wrap up the week with the Hidden Power of Kindness, and we'll look at Sunday's Mass readings. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.